Ministry of Education, Sport and Youth. Secondary Education. Class A, Lyceum. First Semester Examinations, January 2023. Part 1, Listening. There are three tasks to the test. You will hear each recording twice. Now look at Task 1. For each question, choose the correct answer.
Look at this notice. The school's starting trumpet lessons next term.
Oh, the trumpet? That's an instrument I'd love to play. It's got a great sound.
Yes, I might try that. Or maybe piano. I don't know. You learnt piano, didn't you?
Yes, I played the piano for years, in fact, until I took up the drums last year. You can't do everything, and I just felt they were more my sort of instrument, really.
I'm running the race on Saturday, but I don't know where it is or when it begins.
Well, you're going to run round the lake. All the runners have to meet in the car park and register by 1:45, though the race won't actually start until 1:30. There should be about 100 runners.
When will it be over? I've got to catch a train at 3:15.
It's 15 kilometres. You won't be on time for that.
Look, Kate, there are some of those biscuits you like.
Oh, yes. They're a bit expensive, though, Mum. Why don't we have this cake instead? Remember, we've got guests coming tomorrow.
Oh, I haven't forgotten. I've already made a cake, and I've bought lots of ice cream for the children.
Well, I suppose the biscuits would be nice with ice cream. Let's see. Oh, good. I've got enough money in my purse.
So, Sally, what are you going to wear to the party?
Well, I thought about wearing that smart new red dress, you know, that long one.
Yeah, but the invitation just said casual, didn't it? You should wear your black wool skirt and that striped blouse you've got.
What about just jeans and a sweatshirt? That's what I wore last time, and some people were wearing the same sort of thing. Oh, actually, maybe that's too casual. Yes, you know what? I think you're right. I'm going to take your advice.
We haven't got much time left now. There's still so much to see in this museum.
We'll just have to choose one more exhibition. Can I have a look at the plan?
What about jewellery from the ancient world?
But look at the queue. We'll spend half our time waiting if we go in there. Why not try the rainforest in photos? You can wander around and see all the forest animals.
OK, then we won't have time to visit Rescue by Helicopter. There's a real one in there.
Maybe next time.
Now listen again.
Look at this notice. The school's starting trumpet lessons next term.
Oh, the trumpet? That's an instrument I'd love to play. It's got a great sound.
Yes, I might try that. Or maybe piano. I don't know. You learnt piano, didn't you?
Yes, I played the piano for years, in fact, until I took up the drums last year. You can't do everything, and I just felt they were more my sort of instrument, really.
I'm running the race on Saturday, but I don't know where it is or when it begins.
Well, you're going to run round the lake. All the runners have to meet in the car park and register by 1:45, though the race won't actually start until 1:30. There should be about 100 runners.
When will it be over? I've got to catch a train at 3:15.
It's 15 kilometres. You won't be on time for that.
Look, Kate, there are some of those biscuits you like.
Oh, yes. They're a bit expensive, though, Mum. Why don't we have this cake instead? Remember, we've got guests coming tomorrow.
Oh, I haven't forgotten. I've already made a cake, And I've bought lots of ice cream for the children.
Well, I suppose the biscuits would be nice with ice cream. Let's see. Oh, good. I've got enough money in my purse.
So, Sally, what are you going to wear to the party?
Well, I thought about wearing that smart new red dress, you know, that long one.
Yeah, but the invitation just said casual, didn't it? You should wear your black wool skirt and that striped blouse you've got.
What about just jeans and a sweatshirt? That's what I wore last time, and some people were wearing the same sort of thing. Oh, actually, maybe that's too casual. Yes, you know what? I think you're right. I'm going to take your advice.
We haven't got much time left now. There's still so much to see in this museum.
We'll just have to choose one more exhibition. Can I have a look at the plan?
What about jewellery from the ancient world?
But look at the queue. We'll spend half our time waiting if we go in there. Why not try the rainforest in photos? You can wander around and see all the forest animals.
OK, then we won't have time to visit Rescue by Helicopter. There's a real one in there.
Maybe next time.
That is the end of task one. Now look at task two. You will hear an interview with a famous ballet dancer talking about her life. For each question, choose the correct answer.
My guest today is the star of the London Ballet Company, 22-year-old Elena Karpov. Elena, you were born in Bulgaria. Did you always want to be a dancer?
Well, I was a very lively little girl, so at the age of 7, my mother sent me to gymnastics classes. When I was 9, I went on to ballet lessons, and from that moment I knew that I wanted to spend my life dancing. 2 years later, when I was 11, I won a place at the New York Ballet School.
So you had to move to the United States. Mm. Did you miss your family?
Oh, yes. At first it was difficult being away from home and not knowing a lot of English, but it taught me how to look after myself and not to depend on others. There were other Bulgarian students there, and we actually found it quite easy to learn enough English to take part in the lessons with the other students.
Mm. Tell us about your latest role with the London Ballet Company.
I'm going to dance the part of Cinderella. It's a story about a poor girl who marries a handsome prince. My parents used to read it to me when I was little. I'd never seen the ballet before, but I already knew the music really well. I'm sure children will love the ballet.
What do you do when you're not practicing or performing?
Before I joined this company, I spent 2 weeks going round London as a tourist. I don't have time for sightseeing now, but I love trying on the latest fashions with my friends. I'm always buying new jeans and trainers. I'm not too keen on discos and nightclubs. I dance enough during the day.
You must have lots of fans.
Quite a few. They always ask for a photograph of me, but unfortunately I don't have many to give away. I sometimes sign their programmes instead. And if I can, I give them one of the flowers I've received from the audience. They always ask for tickets, but of course that's not possible.
What's been the best thing that's happened in your career so far?
Well, I've been a guest dancer with ballet companies in Moscow and Vienna, and I appeared twice on television in Bulgaria and met the president. I shall never forget that. But the most satisfying thing for me is that I'm paid for doing what I really enjoy, dancing.
Elena, thank you for talking to us.
Thank you.
Now listen again.
My guest today is the star of the London Ballet Company, 22-year-old Elena Karpov. Elena, you were born in Bulgaria. Did you always want to be a dancer?
Well, I was a very lively little girl, so at the age of 7, my mother sent me to gymnastics classes. When I was 9, I went on to ballet lessons, and from that moment I knew that I wanted to spend my life dancing. 2 years later, when I was 11, I won a place at the New York Ballet School.
So you had to move to the United States.
Mm.
Did you miss your family?
Oh, yes. At first it was difficult being away from home and not knowing a lot of English, but it taught me how to look after myself and not to depend on others. There were other Bulgarian students there, and we actually found it quite easy to learn enough English to take part in the lessons with the other students.
Hmm. Tell us about your latest role with the London Ballet Company.
Mm. I'm going to dance the part of Cinderella. It's a story about a poor girl who marries a handsome prince. My parents used to read it to me when I was little. I'd never seen the ballet before, but I already knew the music really well. I'm sure children will love the ballet.
What do you do when you're not practicing or performing?
Before I joined this company, I spent 2 weeks going round London as a tourist. I don't have time for sightseeing now, but I love trying on the latest fashions with my friends. I'm always buying new jeans and trainers. I'm not too keen on discos and nightclubs. I dance enough during the day.
You must have lots of fans.
Quite a few. They always ask for a photograph of me, but unfortunately I don't have many to give away. I sometimes sign their programmes instead, and if I can, I give them one of the flowers I've received from the audience. They always ask for tickets, but of course that's not possible.
What's been the best thing that's happened in your career so far?
Well, I've been a guest dancer with ballet companies in Moscow and Vienna, and I appeared twice on television in Bulgaria and met the president. I shall never forget that. But the most satisfying thing for me is that I'm paid for doing what I really enjoy, dancing.
Helena, thank you for talking to us.
Thank you.
That is the end of task two. Now look at task three. You will hear part of a radio program about Katherine Johnson, the woman who helped send the first Americans into space. For each question, fill in the missing information in the numbered space. Write one or two words or a number.
Katherine Johnson was born in 1918 in West Virginia, USA. Her father was a farmer, and her mother was a housewife, but had been a teacher. Education was very important to the family, but African American students in her town had to leave school at 14. So, her father arranged for his children to attend school in another town. Johnson was a brilliant student and skipped several years at school. She graduated from college with a degree in mathematics and French at the age of 18 and became a teacher. In 1953, she began working at NACA, a government space travel organization. They needed to make complicated calculations with a high degree of accuracy, but at that time, the computer technology to do this had not been developed yet. Instead, NACA hired women to do the calculations, using only an adding machine, pencil and paper. Johnson's mathematical skills meant that she was of great value to the organization as a human computer. However, NACA was a difficult place to work. Women were not given credit on official reports for the work they had done, and they were not invited to important meetings. Furthermore, segregation meant that African American women had to work in separate offices and could not share toilet or dining facilities with other staff. When the organization changed its name to NASA in 1958, this segregation ended. However, Johnson and other women still had to insist on attending meetings, even without invitations, and fight for the right to be listed as authors. After electronic computers became available, Johnson's mathematical experience was still crucial to key projects. In 1961, she planned the flight path and landing area for astronaut Alan Shepard on the first manned American space mission. In 1962, she did the same for John Glenn, the first American to orbit the Earth. In fact, Glenn had such respect for Johnson's work that he refused to fly until she had checked the computer calculations herself. Johnson also worked on the Apollo 11 and Apollo 13 moon missions. On the disastrous Apollo 13 mission, Johnson found a way for the astronauts to return to Earth safely using their own observations of stars to guide them. She later worked on the space shuttle, satellite launches, and even Mars missions before her retirement in 1986. It took another 30 years for Johnson to receive recognition for the pioneering work she had done. In 2015, US President Obama awarded her the Presidential Medal of Freedom, and the following year, NASA named a building after her.
Now listen again.
Katherine Johnson was born in 1918 in West Virginia, USA. Her father was a farmer, and her mother was a housewife, but had been a teacher. Education was very important to the family, but African American students in her town had to leave school at 14. So, her father arranged for his children to attend school in another town. Johnson was a brilliant student and skipped several years at school. She graduated from college with a degree in mathematics and French at the age of 18 and became a teacher. In 1953, she began working at NACA, a government space travel organization. They needed to make complicated calculations with a high degree of accuracy, but at that time, the computer technology to do this had not been developed yet. Instead, NACA hired women to do the calculations, using only an adding machine, pencil and paper. Johnson's mathematical skills meant that she was of great value to the organization as a human computer. However, NACA was a difficult place to work. Women were not given credit on official reports for the work they had done, and they were not invited to important meetings. Furthermore, segregation meant that African American women had to work in separate offices and could not share toilet or dining facilities with other staff. When the organization changed its name to NASA in 1958, this segregation ended. However, Johnson and other women still had to insist on attending meetings, even without invitations, and fight for the right to be listed as authors. After electronic computers became available, Johnson's mathematical experience was still crucial to key projects. In 1961, she planned the flight path and landing area for astronaut Alan Shepard on the first manned American space mission. In 1962, she did the same for John Glenn, the first American to orbit the Earth. In fact, Glenn had such respect for Johnson's work that he refused to fly until she had checked the computer calculations herself. Johnson also worked on the Apollo 11 and Apollo 13 moon missions. On the disastrous Apollo 13 mission, Johnson found a way for the astronauts to return to Earth safely using their own observations of stars to guide them. She later worked on the space shuttle, satellite launches, and even Mars missions before her retirement in 1986. It took another 30 years for Johnson to receive recognition for the pioneering work she had done. In 2015, US President Obama awarded her the Presidential Medal of Freedom, and the following year, NASA named a building after her.
That is the end of the listening part.